class, a weekly broadcast of the Church of God. Today we plan to continue our study of the effect of our hope, showing that one result of our belief in the soon coming of Jesus will be an increased witness to the world. But now, before we take up our study, shall we pray? Oh Lord, we're grateful to be here again today to witness to thy truth, and we pray that you'll bless every listener, that you'll increase our hope and increase our zeal to use our time and our talents and our means more effectively to witness for Jesus and for thy truth. We ask that many may be won to Jesus in these last days before he comes again, that they may find salvation in him. We pray that you'll use this effort toward that end, according to your will, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Last week we learned that one of the outstanding effects of our hope in the soon coming of Jesus Christ will be to purify our lives, to live more cleanly and more consecrated before the Lord. Another outstanding result of our belief will be an increased zeal to witness for the Lord unto the uttermost parts of the earth. God's word makes it clear that the true church not only should, but will, preach the gospel of the kingdom in all the world in the last days. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." This is a statement of fact. Here is a prophecy of what will be done. If these are the last days, it is our responsibility as Christians to fulfill this prophecy. If we do not, the Lord will raise up a people who will. This is no time to neglect the means at hand to make Jesus' prediction possible in our day. We must seize upon radio and television, publishing, evangelism, foreign missions, and every other means for the widespread sowing of God's word as never before. For we live in the evening shadows of time, and millions do not yet know our Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that is to be found in him. A report was issued some time ago by the India Mission in its paper, India's Challenge, and it brings out these astounding statistics on the failure of the Christian religion to evangelize. One half, the quotation goes, of the world's 2.5 billion people have never heard the name of Jesus. More than 1,000 languages spoken in the world today have no portion of the scripture in their own language. There are only 22,000 active Protestant missionaries in all the world in foreign fields. About half of these are working in Africa. In spite of the fact that half the Protestant missionaries in the world are in Africa, there is still only one missionary for every 17,000 people. World population is increasing at least 60,000 every day. 100,000 people die every day without any knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name only there is salvation. The writer of this article reaches this conclusion, quote, "Protestantism has a woefully small number of missionaries compared to its potential and compared to the multitudes to be reached. It seems evident that Protestants are putting themselves first and the Lord second, and in their self-centered complacency do not even know that the picture is one of tragic failure, their failure," end quote. At the conclusion of a long series of kingdom parables recorded in Matthew 13, Jesus asked his hearers, "Have you understood all these things?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." He said unto them, "Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." Verses 51 and 52. Jesus had told many parables teach the different truths about the future of the future kingdom of God. And after telling these simple stories, he asked his followers, Now, do you understand about the kingdom of God? They all said, yes, we do. And then said Jesus, you are like scribes. Scribes were the keepers of God's word. They transcribed the word. They studied it. They read it for the people. The disciples of Jesus, and that includes us, are storehouses and guardians of the word of God. Not only that, Jesus continued, but you're like homeowners who delight in showing all their old and new treasures to anyone who will stop long enough to see them. Jesus was teaching us that it is not enough to understand and have the precious truths of the kingdom stored away in our own minds, but we must display these truths proudly before the world. The overall thought of this whole chapter is that understanding the gospel of the kingdom must be expressed in faithful preaching of the gospel of the kingdom in all the world. In other words, our hope in God's kingdom will have the effect of making us faithful witnesses for that hope to the unconverted. We're not to store away these truths as we store old furniture in the attic, but are to keep them on display and to show them proudly unto all who will stop to listen. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, find prophetic chapters telling something of the Christian's hope of Jesus coming and resurrection from the dead. After stating that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and that the dead in Christ shall rise first, Paul said in verse 18, wherefore comfort or exhort one another with these words. Our hope is not to be kept hidden under a basket for our own personal comfort and joy, but it's to be shared for others' comfort and exhortation. A good hope makes a comforting testimony. In the next chapter, 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul said, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Warn them that are unruly. Verses 9, 11, and 14. Hope for salvation from the wrath of God unto eternal life at Jesus' coming will be the basis for comforting the brethren, edifying one another, and warning the unconverted. In short, Bible hope in the Lord's coming, in the saving power of Christ, and in the glories of God's kingdom will make us faithful witnesses to the household of God and to the unbelieving world. Are you seeking out the lost ones whom the Savior died to win? Are you showing them the fountain that can wash away their sin? Are you looking by the wayside for the weary ones who fall? Do you win them to the Master who has promised rest to all? The prophet Ezekiel, trying to arouse the people of Israel to their responsibility to light the way for the Gentiles and condemning them for their lack of faithful witnessing in word and deed, used this powerful illustration recorded in Ezekiel 33, the first 7 verses. He said, in effect, if you would appoint one of your citizens to be a watchman for your city, you expect him to stand on the walls and look for the enemy to come. If he sees the enemy coming, he will blow the trumpet of alarm. If the people of the city hear the trumpet blow but make no preparations to meet the foe and they're taken, the fault is their own, and their blood is on their own heads. But if the watchman sees the enemy coming and does not blow the trumpet and warn the city, then the blood of the surprised people is on the watchman's head. Bible-believing Christians look forward to the soon coming of Christ and the day of salvation. But they're also painfully aware of the truth that the church's day of salvation will be the day of God's wrath on the world. If we faithfully warn the people of our time of this truth, they will not listen. We can meet our Lord with a clear conscience. If, however, we fail to speak out, and some of our friends and relatives and neighbors are taken as in a snare, we will face our Lord with their blood upon us. If you were standing at a street crossing, and a blind man stepped off the curb into the path of a truck, and you had time and opportunity but said no word of warning and made no move to stop the blind man's walk into death, whose fault would his accident be? Now, you could say, well, it's not my fault. I didn't make him blind. I did not tell him to walk into the street. I didn't drive the truck. You might say this, but you and I know that this is not the answer. Whose fault is it then that thousands of people die every year? without so much as having heard the name of Jesus, while Christians in many lands live in idleness and pleasure and luxury. We must doubt the reality of hope that is not expressed in exhortation, comfort, and warning to the unruly. The prophet Amos said, "The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy?" Amos 3:8. The Lord has spoken through his word and signs of the times that the end of time is now at hand. Can we refuse to speak? Can we hold back from witnessing to the world? Not if we really believe it. When the Apostle Paul was imprisoned in Rome, he wrote to the Colossians, "Continue in prayer, praying for us that God would open the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ." Had you or I been in Paul's place, we might have said, "Is it not enough that I'm in prison for my faith without expecting me to complicate matters by preaching more?" But Paul, even in bonds, prayed and asked other Christians to pray for the Lord to open the way for him to continue to witness. And the prayers were answered. Well, we read in Acts 28, 30 and 31, that Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding. It is because the Lord so swiftly and miraculously answers prayers and opens doors to witness that we ask you to pray for this radio ministry. It's for the same reason that we suggest you pray for the Lord to open doors of utterance unto you, giving you opportunity and courage to speak about Christ and his coming again. Won't you do it? Of last week's message and this week's message on the effect of our hope by simply writing Truth Seekers 5052 Division, Chicago. That's Truth Seekers 5052 Division, Chicago. We do like to hear from you. We'd like to have you have free copies of these 2 broadcasts on the effect of our hope. There is absolutely no obligation to you. Just write Truth Seekers, 5052 Division, Chicago. We also have free copies of our little booklet, God's Master Plan of the Ideal Family, Is Jesus God, and other previous broadcasts that might interest you. If you'd like to have any of these, just include this with your request. Write Truth Seekers, 5052 Division, Chicago. These broadcasts are made possible by our faithful friends who remember our needs and who pray continually for us. We ask that you will remember us in prayer, for to win men's hearts to God, we need your prayers. And remember to support the broadcast as the Lord leads you. Next week, we're going to begin with the first of a series of 2 messages on the millennial reign of Christ. We hope you'll be listening then. And now, till later, this is Harold Doan saying goodbye for now, and attend church today.